This is Hannah.
This is Rachel.
And this is
What I'd Like to Tell People.
Have you been feeling curious about connecting with your spiritual side? Are you having difficulty trusting your intuition? It could be time to test your skepticism and meet with a spiritual medium. Three-Eyed Bob offers personalized, intuitive readings to help you better understand your journey and identify the unseen forces assisting you along the way. As featured on our first episode of this season, Three-Eyed Bob provides a fresh approach to mediumship that focuses on identifying realistic connections to your current life circumstances. Check out threeeyedbob.com for more information about services offered and to book your virtual reading session today. That's threeeyedbob.com, found in our episode notes. Hi, Rachel.
Hello, Hannah.
How is your week going?
It's going good. Nothing has happened really during this week. The good news is nothing has happened.
Well, there you go.
How about your week? How was your week?
I don't know. I actually got to see some coworkers on Friday. We had like a going away, like a private event for somebody in the office. And the funny thing is, I don't go in the office, so I don't see people. And like the running joke was like, oh, I've not seen you in 2 years. Like that was just like everyone's like, opening and maybe not running joke, but it was just like really funny. And I think I may have told someone it's been 2.5 years since I've seen them, which is not really true, but that's just what it feels like, that
right
now that we're now into 2 years plus 1 month is now 2.5 years in my head, I guess. But
right,
it was really
the
good
clock forward. I like
yeah. I mean, I've seen my boss a couple times over the past 2 years, but not many. I see her on video chat a lot, so it was really nice to kind of see people. And I actually got to see Bobby, who came on our first episode of this
right,
season.
That's awesome.
Yes, and
that
I kind of let everyone know he had a TikTok, but then he went and tell people what his name is on TikTok, because he talks a little bit about work, and he was like, oh, I don't want people to know, but if they listen to here, they can easily find it.
Yes, they can. We have it all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it was really fun to see, even though it was because someone's leaving, so that is a sad occasion. But it was
still brought people together, though.
Yeah, it was there weren't very many people, but it was the CEO was there and everything. So it was good. All right. Well, anyway, I almost said we're stopping, but we didn't even say what the episode.
I know, we didn't even segue at all.
So this episode is with Michaela Pence, who I went to college with, and she is the owner and founder of Mixed Media Jewelry, and she kind of talks a little bit about that, and it's a really fun conversation. One thing I will mention is we had to record on Skype, so it's not the best audio, and for some reason I didn't check to see if my microphone was connected to Skype, so it's my headphones, and I feel like I sound a little strange, but just to let you guys know, but it's still a really great episode.
I think you always sound amazing, but enjoy, guys.
Hello, everyone. We are here with Michaela Pence, and she is the founder of Mixed Media Jewelry, and you're also a makeup artist, correct?
That is correct.
And we went to college together.
We did go to college together. Yes.
Back in the day, because now, you know, before I hit record, we're talking about how old we are, because she has been in the movie industry and for a decade, which is insane that it's a whole decade. Do you want to kind of tell people a little bit about yourself and then how you got started with your jewelry?
Yeah. So I went to Marshall University, got my BFA in graphic design, and then moved to New York, kind of figured out that wasn't the lifestyle that I wanted to live, but I did love the environment of New York, and I ended up on a movie set as a background actor and met the key makeup artist on set, and she was extraordinary. And I was like, oh my God, this is like a real job. Like, I can do this. And so I decided to take a different route and a different path in life, went back to school and got certified in makeup artistry for film and television, beauty and editorial, body painting, the whole thing. And that was a really great launch for me in a way different path than I ever had explored before. And it's been incredibly fulfilling over the years, but COVID kind of took a turn on that, which has been, you know, a huge adjustment in the industry. And then as things shut down, getting into jewelry was a way for me to keep myself busy, keep my creative, you know, inspiration going, and also make some money. So it's been kind of a journey.
And before your jewelry, didn't you make like hanging plants, or am I imagining that, or like some, the things, the rope to put the plants in, or was that somebody else?
That was not me. Oh, that was very cool.
Think that.
I would maybe do that, though. That is something I would do.
I could have sworn. So you weren't selling them on Etsy? I couldn't find it today. I shouldn't even have brought it out because I don't even know who it was, because I would love to have one. And I was like,
I did too.
I was like, I don't know why I thought that was you. And then you started doing jewelry shortly after that. Now I got to figure out who in the world that was. No, maybe it was nobody. Maybe it was in my dreams.
Maybe you'll be that somebody.
I don't know. I don't know if I can, because I think you have to like braid it.
So do you find a lot of your mixed media objects, like, or are they found objects, or how do you go about making your jewelry?
So a lot of it is found objects, flowers, pressed flowers, butterfly wings, magazine clippings.
I see on your ears. They're really cool. I love them. And I did some research on your, I love the boob necklaces. Yes. I kind of want them. I want one now. So I want you to commission a small booby one for me, though. A small titty.
I'm so happy. Any size
itty bitty titties.
Yeah, itty bitty titties. I need an itty bitty titty one for me in copper, please. Okay, thanks.
Yes, you got it. Yeah, it's been a journey, and yeah, anything that I can kind of get my hands on that I can suspend in resin has been my go-to, and anything I can find is even better than having to buy it. So
I've always wanted to just try resin, so I'm still tempted on it. Is it pretty hard to use, or
there's a learning curve with it, and there's a lot of different varieties, and the one that I've kind of found to be my favorite, and I won't say easiest to work with, but the fastest to work with, is my UV resin. And that one I use like a light box, a UV box that I put the resin under, which cures it much faster than the regular like AB epoxy, which can have its own sort of annoyances with mixing the right ratio and everything, but this just comes in a nice little
the science part. That's the problem for me. I kept looking it up too, because I was like, well, I want to, you know, do some resin work and my artwork and stuff, and I was like, oh God, I was horrible at science and high school and in life, and this doesn't work now that you told me this UV light box.
It's a game changer, and it's taken my craft to be something that used to take 24 hours to make to just I won't say just a few minutes, because they're still adding the things to it, but it can cure in just a few minutes, which changes my whole process and how quickly I can, you know, make things. So
you, I also have written down that you make earrings, necklaces, pendants, charms, rings, ornaments, keychains, keepsakes. Is there anything like you don't make, or do you just like make whatever people want?
I kind of make anything that people want, except for people will ask me to make big things for them, and I'm really not super into, like, people have asked me to, like, preserve their wedding bouquets, for instance. And, like, that is a huge feat and an amount of resin that I don't feel comfortable butchering.
Yeah, and if you messed up. Yes.
It would be fine if it was maybe part of, like, a flower from it, maybe. Yes. But even that, like, I'd make it as earrings or something. But
that's a good idea.
Thank yes. you. Thank you.
Earrings out of, like, a bouquet. Yeah.
And then you get to keep it forever, because I looked into things to make for my brother's wife and him and stuff it with their flowers, and I was going to do it with frames, but then I saw there was a resin idea you could do. And I thought, oh, if they wanted jewelry,
Yes, the jewelry anyway. Component, I'm absolutely down for coasters, small things.
Right.
I don't want to get into that's a whole other, that's like the people that make, like, kitchen tables and bar tops. I would rather make adornments, I guess, is how I like to go about things.
I don't blame you. And so you still do makeup on top of your making jewelry?
That is right? Correct. Yes.
So I don't know how much you want to get into it, because I know you probably want to talk more about your jewelry, but what type of makeup do you do now, since, like, after COVID and everything?
So
it's still not really after COVID, but right. after the lockdown.
Right. So there's a lot of changes to the industry. Before COVID, I was working on a lot of feature films and did a ton of special effects work. And after, or now during COVID, I'm doing a lot more commercial work. And a lot of politicians, most of them in West Virginia, I've worked with.
Do you ever want to, like, mess up something?
Every time. No, I'm just kidding. No, it just depends.
This is a safe space. No. It's a safe space.
Any other, like, any crazy stories with the politician, or is it just kind of, like, and do you sell them your jewelry, too? Are you like, hey, I have a jewelry line? This would look really great on you.
Yeah, there's actually been a really great crossover between my film and jewelry business, where filmmakers that I've worked with in the past now follow my jewelry page, and they have commissioned me to make products for, like, releases for their movies. Like, we want, like, a custom piece for... we're releasing this movie and we want to give out, like, gift bags or, like, things like that. Or we're doing this, like, charity thing. Would you be willing to, like, you know, make, like, a custom piece that, like, incorporates the film that we're making? And I've had a huge support in filmmaker friends and community members who I've, you know, been working with for years, who have now sort of followed me in this new journey. And they still reach out to me, too, for makeup. It's just been a little bit different, and not just them that are making it different. I've just sort of chosen to not always stretch myself so thin with the projects that I was doing, because before I was traveling, like, 6 to 8 months out of the year away from my home, and I have, like, a cat, and a couple years ago I lost one of my other cats, and, like, I wish that I had spent more time at home, you know? So that was a big sort of shift, and I think COVID made me really take a step back from the grind that I was pursuing. And Hollywood is so unforgiving, and they don't care if you're tired or sick or anything. And when you're put the wrong makeup on, like, it's so feature films as a department head, which I did for many years, is an incredibly stressful, there's no days off. It's not like I can just shift my responsibilities to someone else. It's like, no, I'm on location upstate New York, and I'm living at a Super 8. for the next 8 weeks. So it's like to find somebody else capable and responsible for the job that I have was so daunting and like something that I love to do, but it was a huge sacrifice to have to leave my friends and family and my pets and my home. And so doing jewelry now is I can stay home. I have my own little home studio. I sell at a local shop in downtown Lewisburg now. And I'm just sort of pursuing this new venture, but still keeping makeup on the side. I just don't think that I will succumb to that kind of grind again. It was too much for anybody, to be honest.
Did you have to, like, I feel like on a movie set, you'd have to make the person look the same each time based on, like, the scene, right? So it's like you're filming this, like, they're in the same outfit, same hair and makeup for days. And so was that, like, probably, I could imagine that'd be hard to be, like, having the same makeup look day in, day out, or, like, keeping that looking. I don't know.
Anyway, yes.
You don't have to go. Yes, but I was just thinking, to me, that would be the stressful, being like, oh, my God, did I do a wingtip, or did I do, like, I know nothing about makeup. Well, so
that's, like, when you, like, kind of keep those ones in order, you would have, like, probably, say, Hannah's natural look for a scene, blah, 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 and then Hannah's nighttime kind of thing for a scene, blah, blah, blah.
Yes, that's kind of how I write down my there. It's all continuity and there's continuity notes. Yeah. And I won't get too technical, but you're absolutely correct in saying like the keeping it consistent from scene to scene. But in a single day of shooting, your shooting list is based upon location. So let's say you have the apartment of somebody, the main character, as a location, and then you go on to the person in this location is getting ready for their day job, and then in another entirely different scene, they've come home because they've broken up with their boyfriend. But those scenes might be like back to back within an hour of each other, so that means that like they have two entirely different looks. But I have to change their look according to the scene. So there's so much note taking and so many photos, product log, everything. I can't ever watch a movie the same again. in the way that it's ordered is not in chronological order ever. So it's based on location and. But you're absolutely correct that like there's the, and that's how I do it. I'm like their day one look, their day two look, their day or night two look. You know, I do. That's exactly how
I was only picturing it because when I was in art college, we did anatomy classes too. And so when we wouldn't have, say, the model, sometimes there's certain angles or you needed certain things, you would have to make sure like the lighting was perfect, take all the detailed photos you needed. And then we would even make color palettes of our paints too. So I would even make swatches to be that detailed. Yes. So that's why I was asking you that because I was like, oh, we do that in art college.
This is exactly what you would do on a movie set also. So you're already there. We'll hire you.
Where am I? I did do mood boards for college too. For that. Yeah. They were like, trying to get me into the video games, but I couldn't do the coding. So here we are.
Oh, it's so good.
Okay. Thank you. I was just wondering. Okay. Anyways.
So where do you think you'll go with your jewelry? So I see that you've done like events and you're in stores and you have an Etsy store, right? No, am I making that up?
I do not.
Okay. I'm making that up.
Sorry. It's all good. I get that question so frequently and, I'm going to call out my brother right now. You can keep this in the edit. Brandon Pence, you need to help me with my website. no, I had a lot of people inquiring about an Etsy. I chose to build my own website because my brother is a web developer. And
I built a smart thing because you don't have to give money to Etsy.
I was about to say Etsy takes a lot too, and they're actually charging more now too. That guy was going to do my artwork on there, and yeah, like they charge you for how amount of like how many products you want in it.
No,
have your own website.
It's so true, and I didn't want to get caught up in all of those fees. I felt like they were outrageous, and then I feel like you still get clobbered by all the people that are promoting more or have more money or have a bigger business on Etsy, where you just end up falling to the bottom of the stack, and nobody even sees your content. And I don't want to give money to a service like that when I feel like I can promote myself in other ways. So anyway, I'm working on getting a website built. I have a domain, and it's just a matter of time now. A Kiki! Sorry.
He's been asleep, as you can see, and he was getting into my plants. So I like held him. Now he's acting like he's like so tired, and he can't look. But he's almost a year, so he is a true kitty cat.
Oh, yay. How cute. What's his name?
Arlene. It's short for Arlington.
Oh, my gosh. He's so cute. My cat is sleeping on the chair beside me right now.
I have two cats, but yeah, both rescues.
Yes.
What's your cat's name?
His name is Carl.
Oh, I love that. We had a cat. His name is Murray, but my brother would call him Carl Winslow. Because my brother wasn't there to name him, and so my brother wanted his name to be Carl Winslow. So he was Murray, but like his formal name, I guess, was Carl Winslow.
Carl Winslow. No, but Carl has been. I've joked because Carl, my cat Carl, has been a huge influence and inspiration in my jewelry making. And he has been featured in so many pieces I've made. And I even jokingly established that he was my boss in a very...
That sounds about right.
I was published in a very prestigious jewelry magazine, and I even incorporated that line sneakily into it. So
they're really great at supervising.
Yeah. So he's been a huge inspiration and a lot of fun to make pieces with. So
what's your favorite piece? Do you have any new projects you're working on, like before selling? Like, I don't know how to describe that, but you know. Yeah.
No, I've been really inspired with a few really great sort of couture avant-garde jewelers who have sort of made me think more in 3D than I have maybe in the past. I don't know if I have like a favorite piece or a project, but anytime that anybody has a bulky amount of bulky, is that a word? a bulk amount of work for me. I'm doing like a bridal, bridesmaids, like the whole thing, and a bride, which is really wonderful and supportive. And it's all their birth flowers and or birth month flowers. But I honestly love picking apart magazines and just finding what I find and just making that into things and collaging, and finding a good bit of profanity is always a good little mix, and just making it fun. Just like, it's less tacky to wear a necklace that says fuck you than a t-shirt.
Someone has to get up really close to be able to see it.
And then we would wonder, why the hell are you that close to me? It's also exactly. COVID, no, and just in general.
No, it's so true. I don't know. There's a lot of things that I've made that I have a hard time letting go of. Which means that whenever I do go to sell it, it sells so fast. If I do end up selling, but there's
instead
been a lot
of Oprah's favorite things, it's like Michaela's favorite things.
Yes. Exactly.
This one of a kind item that you're like, I love it so much and it should have a good home, but it's my baby. Yeah, I do that with mine all the time.
Yeah, you can relate.
Like, it's mine.
And I do feel like looking like, even though I thought you started with plant holders for some odd reason, but I feel like watching you on Facebook, and I don't know why I didn't follow you on Instagram until like a couple minutes ago, but I assume on Instagram, like you've really like changed. Like, I feel like you have like different like seasons or different like things. Like you have like, okay, I'm going to work on like butterflies, or now I'm going to do boobs, but you've like kind of done different things, which I find very cool. Like you're not, you know, since you started in 2020, it's not been the same. It's just like you can really watch your like growth and everything. How did you also, I know you said that the butterflies, and I also want to mention, are like, you don't kill butterflies. They're, you know, do you just find them? Is
they're
that
preserved,
how you,
right?
Or well, how did you?
I have had told, I've been told by others that, me using them was as bad as killing puppies. So
that's not true. See, I don't get why people don't see science and stuff, because you could actually have them die, be already dead too, and some scientists do it.
I've never killed a butterfly.
Right. Well, I know you said like I can't think. Was it not worth? Ethically, that's the word I'm looking for.
All butterflies and flowers, all living things are ethically sourced, and they are. I find them when they are deceased. I also get a good bit of butterfly wings from conservatories, who have butterflies that die of natural causes, and then I buy their remains, and I make really incredible jewelry, different colors and all different species, and anything that I can source from West Virginia is really powerful to me and impactful, and I feel like I have a huge market of people in West Virginia that want West Virginia made and sourced and everything. So that's been a huge bit. Like the earrings I'm wearing now are tiger swallowtail, I believe that they're called, which is a native species in West Virginia. So there's always that.
I got to get a blue and a purple one for Lupus Awareness Month, because it's lupus awareness and Behçet's awareness, and the butterfly is for lupus, actually.
Oh, wow.
And there's, I have both so of those many diseases. So I wanted to maybe do one purple, one blue.
Yeah.
That would be cool for my mom.
Yeah, I will look into that, because that's
super. Yeah, I have to commission you, though. Yeah. Yeah, because that would be good for people for lupus, is what I was getting at, too. And that would be a good thing to maybe do a fundraiser for, too, like sell some.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'd probably have to source. Yeah, I'd probably have to source an outside, like I said, the conservatories for more exotic butterflies. But there's definitely all the colors out there, so yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome though. Yeah, I was like, that's a cool idea actually. And I was looking at your ears the whole time, and I was like,
It's been a lot
for the inspiration.
I did have one lady at an artisan fair say to me, "Oh, so you just collect roadkill and make it into jewelry?" And I was like, "You don't have to be so grotesque, but sometimes."
It's time to talk about tea.
I'm going to spill the tea.
No, I'm going to talk about the t-shirts and merch we have for sale on our website, www.whatidliketotellpeople.com.
Oh man, I wanted to hear some juicy gossip, but I do think our t-shirts are pretty juicy. Even though it is getting warmer outside, people can still buy our hoodies for those cool spring days.
People can also receive 15% off by using our listener code TELLINGPEOPLE found in our episode notes.
And back to our show. Michaela, what would you like to tell people?
I would like to tell people about mixed media jewelry, and it's a play on words, first of all. I don't know if anybody's thought of this, but mixed media is, it's M-I-C-K apostrophe S, which also sounds like mixed media. So the mixed media jewelry came about because of mixed media as my platform of usage of materials. And you can find me on Instagram at mixed media jewelry. That's mix underscore media underscore jewelry. Same with Facebook. And I plan to have a website up very soon to have a better e-commerce platform. And I make everything using natural materials, photos, magazine clippings, butterfly wings, just natural found objects. And I recently got more into silversmithing and sort of creating my own, the whole piece, instead of, I used to just buy Amazon bezels, and now I'm getting more into curating my own custom pieces. And customs are actually a huge part of my production, and people will send me photos or feathers from their birds or butterfly wings or things like that. And then I just make them into custom pieces for people.
How can people send you things, like if they want something created?
So they can, if people want to send me something to be made, they can either send me a digital file of a photograph, which I then take into, this is where my graphic design comes in, and I will shrink it down to a shape that they want. I have a few shapes and sizes that are available, and they can, I don't know if I want to give out like my address.
That's like they can message you if they really want, right?
Yes. Yes. They can, my Instagram and my, or maybe my Instagram doesn't have my email. It doesn't.
They can message you on your
Instagram. Honestly, most people slide into my DMs. Yes.
So we'll just have them slide into your DMs.
Okay. So if you want a custom order, you can slide into my DMs, and
you'll see if you trust them enough to send them your address.
Exactly. And I've had people send me butterfly wings, flowers, four-leaf clovers.
Maybe you should get a P.O. box.
I've thought of that. I've had some.
Yeah.
I've had a few kind of sketchy people that I'm like, I don't put my return address when they order something, because I'm like, I don't know you.
Is that like teeth or something?
I don't know. Sometimes people have asked me to make some with teeth. Just, I don't want to put my return address sometimes. It's only like the random people, for the most part, I'm like.
Ones that you're like red flagging, yeah, in your head. You're like,
yeah.
You don't get my return address, but you don't seem to want to kill me.
Right.
You get.
But I guess.
A P.O. box would be very important.
I think so, no killers.
I agree, but it's still Lewisburg, which is still a small enough town. Somebody could definitely still find me.
Yeah, it's small enough that it might be easy to get them. I don't know.
So see, I can see the podcast now, like mixed jewelry artist.
No, but
in Lewisburg, West Virginia.
This woman came on this podcast.
No, I really feel like
someone's out to get you.
Somebody's out to get me. No, I am very careful with the internet, and I try not to put too much personal information out there for the general public, but I do end up, if I trust you in my DMs, you'll probably get my address to come pick up an order.
We could get your address. I'm joking.
Probably. Marshall did. Marshall always does. I didn't think they ever would, because I lived in New York for like 5 years and lived in Savannah.
I don't think I've received anything from them. I lived at my new place for a year.
They found me. I don't know how they found me.
God, they stalked you.
I have no idea. It was like 12 years later, but they found me. And I am like, how? because
I mean, I was getting stuff at my old address, and I don't think, you know, but I don't think I've received anything here. So knock on wood, tomorrow I'll go to my mailbox and I'll be like, they found me.
This podcast, they're gonna come through the web.
Yes. Well, as far as I know, you can like Google me and my current address does not pop up. It still says I live at my old address. Because I feel like as a female, like you're, at least for me, I'm like always like what can people find? Because I can find anything about anybody online. Like you just tell me a name and your like where you once lived, like state or something, and I'll find like everything. And so yeah. I do that for myself, and my current address has yet to pop up. So I feel like I am safe.
Well, I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah, and I actually own this place, so I'm really surprised, because the other places I just rented, but I own my condo, and you think it would be public knowledge, you know, like out there more, but it's not. Knock on wood.
Yeah,
no, so that's, maybe that's why they've not found me.
One day I didn't think they'd ever find me either. They did. I'm not the best public speaker, and I don't know if you got anything good from any of that.
Yes, I think it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's just like the conversation. I feel like you don't have to be a great public speaker.
Yeah, you're just having a fun convo with us. Yeah, and still need that.
Yeah,
we had a great one, I think.
I guess
I could have asked more about your jewelry, so I apologize. No, I feel like
I'm not like makeup artistry has been a huge part of my life, and it's been the biggest career path that I've taken so far, and the jewelry making is really new for me. And I recently applied for my LLC and I've been approved, so yay!
Congratulations!
Thank you. But makeup artistry is still a huge part of my life, and it's not something that I'm necessarily giving up with the jewelry biz, but it's been a way to make both work for me in the environment of COVID, and because it's very scary to do makeup during a pandemic. And
yeah, you get up close and personal, like I'm sure.
I am in the sneeze zone.
I don't say how many people have sneezed on you, like while doing their makeup.
Thankfully, nobody has sneezed on me while doing their makeup. But it's
I'm sure
definitely
their nose has ran and their fluids are coming out.
Right. It's just the whole thing. And but by doing jewelry, I've been having a lot of inspiration and fun and just being really exploring my own paths, I guess. Like, I don't have anybody to report to. Like, when I'm on a production, I have to report to a director or a producer. Like, does this look good? How do we feel about that? But it's like with this, it's just my own, and I can make whatever I want, and I can be a feminist, and I can be political, and I can be funny, and I can be serious, and I can make beautiful things, and I can make less beautiful things if I feel like it, just for fun. And yeah, so there's a lot of freedom in that that I didn't have in makeup artistry, or that I don't have in my line of work with production. Makeup artistry, of course, is as a whole, you could do whatever you want with your makeup, and there's like a whole expression in that. But when you have a producer and a script and, you know, a director, there's a whole line of people you have to go through to be approved of certain looks. So this is my own thing, and I can have any expression I want in it, and it's so freeing. So yeah.
It kind of symbolized the butterfly.
Yeah.
You know, a butterfly is free. You're free.
Yes. I love that.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. And I don't know why I thought you did this. I really got to look to see who did. I don't know why I thought you did hanging basket things.
Please tell me who does it, because I want them. I have a lot of plants. And
I
that sounds
really
so fun.
Thought it was like you, and then you started jewelry shortly after. But I must have dreamt that. Like, I had that in my head.
Well,
usually my memories it's like fairly decent, but for some reason tonight it's not. I'm like,
it's all good. But if you think of them, send me the message, because I'd be like happy to find that too.
Yeah, I absolutely have no clue who it would have been, because I honestly thought it was you. Maybe you took a picture of one. Do you own one? Have you ever owned one?
No. I do have like a small glass hanging thing that I had taken a picture of that I had found at like a garage sale like last summer.
I'm gonna walk away.
And then I'm like, oh, she's making them.
But no, I didn't make it. But it's okay. It's so okay.
Yeah, sure it is. Sure.
I'm really sorry that the Zencaster didn't work. Am I even saying that right? Zencaster?
Yeah, Zencaster. Yeah, you're saying it right. It's okay. This isn't the first time that we've had to like resort to Skype. We've had some other issues. But thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate it.
This seems like a great time to pause and tell everyone to subscribe so they will be notified of our next episode.
It isn't like you have anything else to do, right?
Exactly. Make sure to like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn.
Stay healthy, everyone, and now back to our show.
Hannah, what did you think about this episode?
Well, as everyone's probably extremely tired of me saying, I'm always partial to someone from West Virginia, although I like all our guests. But I really enjoyed this conversation. We had some technical difficulties. So as I mentioned at the beginning, we had to record via Skype versus our normal tool, Zencaster. So we had to kind of, after I think like 30 minutes of troubleshooting, we had to finally like call it and start. It may have even been longer and start, but we still had a really long conversation. It was really great kind of catching up with her, hearing her stories. And I like can't wait to see what she's going to do with her jewelry. And I love the play on words with the mixed media jewelry. And I hadn't even really thought of it when I was looking, but like once you say it, then you're like, oh, it is mixed media. Like
that's why I kept thinking it too, and I kept spelling it that way too. Is I was like, that's so clever. Yeah, sorry right. for interrupting.
Oh no, it's okay. And yeah, so it was really great hearing all of her stories within, you know, the film industry. And I, you know, always watched her from afar on Facebook, and I just apparently didn't follow her on Instagram until recently, but I watched her and all her pictures and things and kind of followed her. And I think she's a very, very talented makeup artist. And I think she's a very talented silversmither and is a metal. Well,
it's a type of craftsmanship kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, anyway, she is very talented, and I'm glad she doesn't hurt little butterflies, that it's all ethically sourced and everything. And I just hope everyone, you know, goes onto her website once her brother helps her create it.
Yeah, that would
once
be
he
nice.
Creates it, helps her it. Create it. Yeah. So what did you think about this episode?
Well, we were correct. It is jewelry maker because it could be a broad term. I'm looking it up right now, and actually could also have underneath it goldsmith, horologist, lapidary, silversmith, watchmaker, gemologist.
She can put a lot on her resume, it sounds like.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Now to move on from Rachel doing weird research at this hour. I thought it was a really, really fun episode too, because you get to meet so many fun different people from all over, including the wonderful West Virginia. But I do love, honestly, just the fact that she is an artist. Everyone's an artist, like I always say, and people always probably get sick of me saying that too. But I feel like everyone is an artist, and the fact that she took makeup artistry and then turned it though into jewelry making instead too on the side is awesome, because that's a different type of art form, and you need to have an eye in general. So I feel like her being able to play with that is really great too, especially during COVID, and now because for mental health was very, very important to be able to use your hands and create something. And then, unfortunately, she wasn't able to do that with makeup. So she even found a new way to create a different business, but also help herself too, in a way. So it kind of went hand in hand. And I just can't wait to see what she does next too, because I was looking up all her jewelry, as you know, and when we talked about it with the lupus and bichettes, and the butterflies, I just find it really creative and inspiring. And I kind of want to try it, especially making the boob ones. I hope I get a boob necklace someday. I hate that I'm ended on that, but I think it's really awesome.
So next week, we are interviewing another fellow West Virginian who now resides in California, and that's Jay Burke. And he is kind of friends of 3UP, 2UP, so I'm really excited to talk to him.
What I'd Like to Tell People is an independent podcast recorded and edited by us, Rachel and
Hannah. Our theme song is written and recorded by Sean Price.
Please like us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube.
Make sure to subscribe to our show so you can receive the latest episode. Also, rate and review our episodes so we can receive more listeners.
Go to our website, www.whatidliketotellpeople.com. Find the link and more information in the episode notes.
Until next week.
And this was What I'd Like to Tell People.